western Florida when it makes landfall overnight. Millions of people have left the area. BBC News.
Alan Smith with this evening's 6 o'clock news. Comedy next on Radio 4. Ivo Graham will be exploring his guests' obsessions, which tonight include Lego, puppetry and the East Coast Main Line. But first, something for those obsessed with the works of Charles Dickens.
Dickensian on BBC Radio 4.
This is all just, I say, just part of the show. Bells and whistles, false smiles and sharp teeth. Half of this room would slaughter the other half for a 0.5% profit in the funds.
Our season of new Dickensian dramas continues with Little Dorrit.
Thank you for your company.
But Miss Dorrit...
Curse you, Little Dorrit! Curse your mendacious eyes!
Such language from a lady.
Dickensian, Little Dorrit. On Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Starts this Sunday afternoon at 3.
Hello and welcome to Ivo Graham's Obsessions. Particularly enthusiastic fandoms often earn a special name. For example, Star Trek fans are called Trekkies, Game of Thrones fans are Thronies, and Ivo Graham fans are called Mum, Dad, and a crack team of dedicated godparents. This week, the show is coming to you from the Tron Theatre in Glasgow! Now, I had the great privilege of visiting Glasgow for the travelogue British as Folk in 2021 in an episode that, according to one online reviewer, presented such a privileged view of Scotland, it would look fake on a shortbread tin. So I thought ahead of my return to the city, I'd get some advice from my favourite footballer of all time, ex-Swindon and Celtic maverick Simon Ferry, now regularly filling the SECC Hydro on the Open Goal podcast.
Ivo, it's Cy Ferry. Welcome to Glasgow, mate. You better watch. You do not get your dinner money taken off you up here, pal. Posh boys do not last. See you, mate.
A huge contribution from Simon there. Now, as well as our celebrity guests, each of whom has agreed to be grilled about their own specialist subject, we'll be joined by our VOP, a very obsessed person who is going to tell us all about their all-consuming fixation. And then, if I deem it necessary, also share that information with the police. We'll also delve into our audience to find out what they're obsessed with, and whoever I decide has the best obsession will win this official Ivo Graham's Obsessions cap. Ooh, thank you. The perfect fashion accessory to wear to a family barbecue, an afternoon in a beer garden, or the funeral of someone you don't respect. Our most obsessive audience member will also win the chance to read the credits, which, in tribute to the Glasgow Wonka experience, have been generated by AI and are misspelt to the point of being completely unreadable. So, without any further ado, let's say hello to this week's celebrity obsessives, Susie McCabe and Kieran Hodgson. Hello, friends.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for coming to Glasgow.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And, of course, what a pleasure to have two Glasgow residents.
Och, aye.
Kieran's endeared himself more in two syllables than I did in an entire scripted intro. Right. Well, listen, you're both comedians and you're both Glasgow residents, but Susie, you're also a trained engineer, and Kieran, you've got a degree in history. Who do you think will be more useful in the event of total societal collapse? Susie?
Well, the fact that I'm now a comedian probably tells you how good I was at the old engineering.
Well, I'd be able to teach the people all about the difficulties that John had with Philip II of France in
not even
their
fun
power
history,
struggles
very
over
specifically
Normandy.
Medieval history.
Oh yeah, there's nothing useful in my knowledge of history whatsoever, as we'll see played out over the next hour or so.
Yes, and the show's actually half an hour, but we are going to stay here and keep talking about King John long after the end of the recording. Susie, you are, of course, actually Scottish. Kieran, you were born and raised in West Yorkshire.
Correct. Is this the quiz bit of the show?
No, this is just running through some basic biography and asking Susie whether you think it's time for Scotland to tighten its immigration policy.
Absolutely not. Not at all. In you come. In you come. The kettle's on.
Well, listen, Susie, what is the obsession that you've brought to the show to talk about today?
I went with something which I think is cognitively related in somewhere in my brain and my heart, and I went with Lego.
Did we all see that coming? A gentle ripple for Lego.
Yeah, wait till you get to the end of this. You'll be up Hamleys. Oh, sorry, we're in Glasgow. You'll be stealing out of Asda.
You have a background in construction, of course.
Yes.
Do you think that puts you sort of a few steps ahead of your average sort of Lego goon?
Yeah, so I think this was a thing, obviously, as a young kid I got into, and I used to spend every weekend with my nana, and she spent so much time and we would build stuff, and then I've went back to it as an adult, and it's my absolute thing. I love it.
Your friend, colleague and podcast co-host Christopher MacArthur-Boyd says, I can confirm she is an absolute Lego head. Don't bring up Playmobil or Meccano. She has a die-hard brand allegiance.
I was with him today and he didn't even crack a light, the little... I do. I've got Lego all around the house. My poor wife is demented, but I think she sees it as me having a kind of another creative outlet where I don't actually have a nervous breakdown like we do writing a show.
Yes, of course.
Yes, standard. So I've got like NASA Lego because I love astronomy, right? So I love astronomy and I love stargazing.
Why look at the stars when you can look at your Lego, I always say.
Well, it's very difficult to look at stars when you live in a city that's under a constant grey blanket. So, very rarely do you see stars in this city. So,
I can't believe I've been an elitist about stargazing.
I can.
I thought we all had that.
I've got like NASA Lego. I have Lego architecture. Have you seen this?
All Lego is an architectural possibility as far as I'm concerned.
Jesus. Lego have an architecture brand, right? So when you go to a city and visit it, like Berlin, and it's got the landmarks of Berlin, like the Radio Tower, the Brandenburg Gate, the Reichstag, it's even got the dome at the top of the Reichstag, like a Perspex dome, like it's glass. You can also do things like Dubai and all that, but obviously I'm not into that. Then you've got Lego for everyone. <You don't. laughs> Not into the Dubai.
No Burj Khalifa on principle.
Yeah.
Right.
On principle that people died building it, and do you know what? I'm not walking down the street holding my wife's hand in Dubai. You are not sitting on my sideboard. How dare you?
If anyone here has any Emirati Lego, shame on you. I'm looking at a piece of paper that says, do you tread on Lego very often? So, but I do think it's still important to ask these everyday Lego questions.
No, because I'm very particular about my Lego.
Well, yes, the Burj Khalifa wouldn't be ideal, I suppose.
No. And also, I actually bought a special Hoover. With all the utensils to Hoover my Lego. To keep it clean. And see those people that are not laughing, they are sitting thinking, show me this Hoover.
I am intrigued by the expression, all of the utensils for sorting the Lego.
The little brushes that you would use for the sofa, and that you'll have, I forget, you have a cleaner. So,
oh, there's no need.
But all the little utensils, so you can get into all the little bits, because you can't be having a fusty London Eye.
Kieran Hodgson has put his hand up, and I'm delighted to see it.
Is the special Lego Hoover branded by Lego?
No.
Is it? So it's not a sort of Caractacus Potts-style thing where it sorts the Lego as it hoovers it, and then it comes out in, like, red and green and yellow and all in sort of size order?
I'm not Mary Poppins, Kieran.
But, like, this hasn't come from the manufacturer with this purpose. You've just daubed Lego Hoover on the side of it. And said, this is your purpose now.
No, I wrote my name on it, so my wife knew it was mine. Building site rules, that's what you had to do with your drills. It's So you had to do your screwdrivers, building site rules in our house, name on it.
Have the worlds of football and Lego crossed over in any of your memorabilia? Do you have any stadia?
No, well...
No Qatari ones.
I have actually got my favourite football team's stadium in Lego, but I've not built it because I've got nowhere to put it without somebody coming in and being offended by it. Like, you know, if you get the Sky guy around and you're like, oh, I better move that, I just don't know what team they are. And then they come in with their name badge, because that's what we do in this city, and you look at their name and you go, Sean, and you come. Have a seat, my man, have a seat. Cup of tea. Biscuit, mint club, there'll be no orange in this house.
I don't understand all of it, but it's all for the good of the show. Kieran, do you have any Lego yourself?
I was a bit of a weirdo as a kid because I stayed stuck in Duplo until the age of about 16.
A perfect panto response. McCabe has moved her chair away from Hodgson.
And here is where I would bring an argument to the table that maybe in achieving independence, Scotland should maybe have a gated border.
Do you think if Hadrian's Wall had been made of Duplo, it might have kept the two countries apart a little longer?
For longer? No, you would just have had to remove three bricks and that would have been your three. Not like Lego, it's got slates. It's got slates. If they'd done it like that, it would have been like the Berlin Wall.
We're getting very close to you shouting the word Reichstag again.
It's a very good dome.
Have you been to any of the Lego lands?
No, I'm not allowed. I suggested it for the honeymoon. Absolutely not.
Susie, we have a game. This is our game. Lego is, of course, famous for its collaborations from Star Wars to Harry Potter, but certain tie-ins are less expected than you'd think. So we're going to play a quick game of Lego or Legno. We'll give you a collab and you have to tell us if it's real or fake.
Okay.
If you get a question right, you'll hear this sound. You got a case of Lego mania. If you get a question wrong, you'll hear this quote from a very popular Scottish TV character, which has been carefully edited to remove a swear word.
Lego. They're all made of Lego.
So that's a Radio 4 friendly Malcolm Tucker there. So, Susie, are these Lego or Legno? A Shell service station.
Lego. Fossil fuels. I want this tune to follow me about in life.
The Shell service station does exist and it comes with my favourite minifigure, man popping in for emergency anniversary gift. slightly different angle here. IKEA.
Lego. You got a case of
Lego mania. That is also real.
What we need in the world is to build something that looks like something that we have to build.
Yes. The set does contain an instruction manual that allows you to assemble the IKEA instruction manual. How about the Spice Girls?
I'm going to say Lego.
That's correct as well.
And so it should be. So it should be.
Yes. How about Margaret Thatcher?
Is she in a coffin?
It doesn't exist, but it does give Kieran a good opportunity to do an impression of Margaret Thatcher or Gillian Anderson playing...
No, it does!
Phenomenal.
And finally, the 2007 fantasy comedy flop, Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium.
Lego.
That was Lego. Lego Mania. Why is that the last one? We're going to move on now, but can we have a huge round of applause for a true obsessive, Susie McKay.
Thank you.
She followed all the instructions to the letter and she built a fantastic score. Now is the point on the show where we get to chat to a member of the audience. As they were coming in, we asked them to write down any obsessions they have and put them in a hat. Fiona has written, my obsession, rubbers. Pencil rubbers, all shapes, sizes, and scents.
Yeah.
Can you give me an example of what you last rubbed with?
A Swiss roll.
A Swiss... I think that interaction's gone about as well as it possibly could have done.
It's very different from News Quiz, isn't it?
It is a bit different, isn't it? Yes. We've got Sophie. Sophie, are you here? You've written, making my own sparkly off-brand Crocs that I call...
Cocks.
Cocks. Fantastic. And I'm delighted to read that you're wearing some today and brought a pair for me. Woo! You've also written, I'm also obsessed with guessing shoe sizes correctly.
Yes.
Yes, obviously quite useful in the whole buying people unrequested shoes. what have you guessed my shoe size to be, Sophie?
The audience will have to tell me if this is an insult or a compliment, but I've gone for 10.
Why will the audience have to tell you if that's an insult or a compliment? Why am I not qualified to call that out as an insult or a compliment?
You're good not news, an impartial judge.
Yes, you're right. I shouldn't be hosting this at all. It's neither insulting nor complimentary. It's pretty much exactly right. Maybe I'm a 10 and a half, but I can, squeeze into a small cock. So I... Susie.
Can I just ask, have you ever worked in a pub and bought Sophie a cup of tea?
Is that you, baby Ivo? No, I did used to work in a shoe shop. It's not a fetish thing.
Yes, I'm sure no one who's ever worked in a shoe shop has ever had a shoe fetish. thank you very much, Sophie, for the backstory and the frankly unsettling gift. Well, thank you very much to our audience there. We'll be coming back to you in a little bit. But now, on with the show. Kieran, what is the obsession that you have brought to the Tron Theatre in Glasgow tonight?
The East Coast Main Line. First time I got the East Coast Main Line was the first time I ever went to Edinburgh to do The Fringe when I was 19. And it was like being the Voyager probe, being sent out, you know, beyond the moon, which I'd seen my whole life, a.k.a. York. And then out we went, and the wonders just increased as we reached Newcastle and Allenmouth and Berwick and Dunbar and Reston, which didn't have a station at the time, but we all knew it was coming. And then finally you reach, I don't know, a new galaxy, which is Edinburgh.
Do you want to say a few words about the West Coast Main Line? Or...
It's all right. You get one bit of sea. That's not good enough to call yourself a coast main line. And so, I'm an East boy the whole way.
He's finally calling out the West Coast Main Line for the charlatan that it is. I've got here, as far as East-West rivalries go, East Coast Main Line and West Coast Main Line are up there with Tupac and Biggie. Now, perhaps a close second to East and West Berlin. Susie, if you could just contain yourself, please. Kieran, you've just come off the back of a huge and very long national tour, which you have used as a wonderful way of documenting your train-based adventures all over the UK. And yeah. In fact, you were quite emphatic that it was going to be a sort of a flight-free tour.
Absolutely. The highlight of the whole tour was a crazy dash from Southampton to Lerwick by train in a day and a night. Southampton to Waterloo first thing in the morning, and then King's Cross all the way up the East Coast Main Line, the uninterrupted train to Aberdeen, get there at 5 o'clock, walk across the road, and you're there at the Northlink Ferries terminal, and 12 short hours later you awake in lovely Lerwick.
While you were in the oil capital of Europe. thank God. But do you know what I do like the sleeper. I like the sleeper because it feels magical.
A reverent hush falls over the crowd in the tram.
I like the sleeper because I feel like I'm Poirot.
Kieran, I hugely enjoy your train-based content. And I think we've also found friends through travelling around the UK, such as our friend, the retired train driver, High Speed Tony.
Tony Boston, big shout out.
We're giving a big shout out to Tony Boston. He once came to see a tour show of mine in Inverness, and then he upgraded my train ticket on the way back using his retired train driver privileges, or privs, so that we could sit together in first class all the way back to London. It was 8 hours. It was... Kieran, I have prepared a quiz for you about your own train-based content. It's a game that will encompass all of the UK's rail network, and it's called Station to Station. We'll be quizzing you not only on train stations, but on what you have said about them. We've pulled out some of the lovely things you've said about train stations around the UK over the years. If you can correctly identify the station, you will hear this sound.
Well done, said the Fat Controller. I'm really proud of you all.
If you're wrong, or if there are significant delays, you'll hear this sound.
A disgrace to the Fat Controller's Railway.
The stakes couldn't be higher.
Kieran, question one. Which station did you say has the most amazingly grand portico this side of Paris?
Leicester.
Well done, said the Fat Controller. I'm really proud of you all.
Well, here's the follow-up. What downside did you note to Leicester? A, cramped concourse. B, out-of-order toilets. Or C, errant pigeons.
A.
Well done, said the Fat Controller. I'm really proud of you all.
Where did you describe as having an overall feeling of functionality triumphing over sentiment? Also a solid description of my relationship with my father.
Oh.
Think mint cake.
Oh, yeah, Kendall.
Well done, but that, said the Fat Controller.
There's
I'm
no
really
glory in that.
Proud of you all.
Yes, yes.
Where are the, yes, where else no, produces I, yes, mint cake,
yes,
Ivo?
Yes, I...
Don't give me open goals.
Yes,
I did not get one bit of help. Did you see the patriarchy?
Question three. Which neo-Elizabethan train palace, a sprawling Hampton Court...
Bristol Temple, mate!
Well done, Question. I'm really proud of you all.
What were you describing as amazing and phenomenal in September 2023?
Glasgow Central.
A disgrace to the Fat Controller's Railway.
No, it was actually a couscous salad you had before your tour date in Liverpool. So quite hard. Final question. Where did you describe simply as five stars, no notes?
That is Glasgow Central.
Well done, said the Fat Controller. I'm really proud of you all.
It's a fantastically obsequious note to end on, and we've all had a lovely time. Well, Kieran, thank you for sharing your obsession with us. Now it's time for a quick chat once again to our audience. Lola, are you here? Lola has written... Columbo! Exclamation mark. Spent every Sunday for the last umpteen years watching Columbo. It's known as, Lola?
Sunday Columbathon.
I was originally going to ask, and what does your partner feel about that? But a partner hasn't actually been specified.
Well, I can't tell you. He walks in the room now and says, well, I know what this one is, and just walks back out again.
And then as he's walking out, does he say, and
I know
what
who did it.
Right, I look now at my laptop at a Google sheet that can be written in by the producer, and I see in block capitals, let's move on after Columbo. So, thank you once more to our audience for your submissions. And it is time to welcome guest three. We come to the part of the show where we welcome our special VOP guest, the very obsessed person. It's someone whose obsession isn't just a hobby, it's become a job and the thing that shapes their entire life. So everybody, go wild and welcome to the stage, Malcolm Knight! Malcolm, welcome to Obsessions. I'm interrupting the dramatic opening of a bag. You've been invited on the show because your obsession is interesting and delightful.
Oh.
Please, could you tell us what it is?
I love anticipation.
Ah.
And are you going to ask me a question first?
Well, I... I went with the quite root one, what's your obsession? But we can take a more scenic route if you'd like. Where were you born?
Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh, terrific. Were you more of a Lego or a Duplo person growing up?
More of a Robbie Williams, I'm afraid.
I'm asking for Angela right now.
Megan, we'll see if I have a dial a bit. Malcolm Knight has been collecting masks and puppets from around the world since 1977. From an early training in amateur drama and operette, a fourth puppet has now entered the frame. Could you tell us who this puppet is, please?
This is Wee Jimmy.
Yes.
This is my signature puppet.
Yes.
Hello there, darling. How you doing, huh? I got arrested for using him in Nuremberg. Going a long time ago. Well, fine. Left the school with the saddest stain. I'm looking for a job with a sky-high pay, a three-day week and a two-hour day.
A wonderful song by Matt McGinn.
So, I think it's always good to wrap things up once Nuremberg's been mentioned. Your doctorship remains a mystery. Your future remains uncertain. But you have brought great pleasure to us at the Tron Theatre tonight. So everyone can have a huge round of applause for Dr. Malcolm Knight, everybody. The master of puppets. I wrap up by saying, well, we've heard about all sorts of obsessions today. But only one obsessive can be crowned my obsessive of the week and walk off with the coveted obsessions cap and the chance to read out the credits. Could we, Jimmy, read the credits? I'll tell you what, I'm going to give the cap to someone in the audience. I think it's going to be a classic trade, but I'm going to trade an obsessions cap for a pair of cocks. Can we have a huge round of applause, please, for all of our guests, for Susie McCabe, for Kieran Hodgson, for Dr. Malcolm Knight, for all the fantastic and frankly unsettling contributors from the audience. If you're not obsessed with the show after all this, why not try listening to it another 30 or 40 times? If you still hate it, I don't care. You've just massively increased our listener figures. I've been Ivo Graham. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Ivo Graham's Obsessions was hosted by Ivo Graham, featuring Susie McCabe, Kieran Hodgkin, and Dr. Malcolm Knight. It was written by Ivo Graham, Zoe Tomlin, with additional material by Alex Keeley, Christina Riggs, and Peter Kelly. The producer was Gren Rhys Davis, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
There's more comedy later tonight on Radio 4. The unlikely social media stars Ruth and Carla are here in Influencers at 11 o'clock, then at 11.15 with Strong Language. John Holmes and the team remix the news into another episode of The Skewer.
Hey, I'm Laura Whitmore.
And I'm Ian Sterling.
Anyone who knows us knows we love talking all things true crime.
Each week we revisit cases that you won't actually believe.
Murder, fraud, catfishing, heists, blackmail, brainwashing, betrayal, and even a case solved by chewing gum.
It's less who done it and more they did what? Murder, They Wrote with Laura Whitmore and Ian Sterling.
Listen now on BBC Sound.